Hi, everybody. This is Jack Mosloom with NCPA, live from our NCPA annual convention in Orlando. It's been a wonderful event so far. I'm joined today by Matt Seiler, who's our general counsel, and he's right in the middle of some really big news that we made this week and then again today, and I want to get right into it. So,
sounds good.
We're fighting the PBMs.
It appears to be the case that we're fighting the PBMs.
We're fighting the PBMs. I know that we announced our enthusiastic support last week for a class action lawsuit filed by one of our members,
Matt Osterhaus.
Matt Osterhaus.
Yeah.
Right. And he's filing a class action lawsuit in federal court.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So Matt is filing this, or has filed this class action lawsuit in the Western District of Washington. He is the class rep. So that means that he represents all pharmacies of like size and quality and whatnot. It's kind of laid out in the terms of the complaint itself. But he's alleging, you know, that the PBMs have basically been acting in an anti-competitive way and violating our competition laws.
He's also, when it comes to DIR, right?
This, yeah, DIR fees. DIR. Yeah. And so, you know, looking at that lawsuit, he's making an antitrust claim. He's making some quasi-contract claims. And, you know, I think it's really important because these are claims that we've been trying to educate law firms about over the last, you know, year or so.
Right.
And Matt had a prior existing relationship with one of the law firms. And, you know, I was like, you know what, maybe you should reach out to Matt. And they did. And so, yeah, as a member, we're really happy that he's stepping forward, very brave, really cares about community pharmacy, cares about the patients that people serve in community pharmacy. And so I think people are really happy to see what he's done.
So he's alleging in his complaint that the pharmacy DIR fees were assessed wrongly in violation of antitrust law and maybe state contract law.
Yeah. So they're basically alleging that, you know, pharmacies, they want to fill and dispense medications, right?
Yeah.
But what the PBMs are making them do essentially is also provide these other services in order to be able to fill and dispense, right? Yeah. And so they call that a tying claim. What's really egregious about it is they don't pay them, the pharmacies, for those additional services.
Right.
They make the pharmacies pay the PBM for those services in the form of a DIR fee. And so that's,
you have
that's
to
a
pay
big part of, yeah, his allegation.
To perform a service for somebody else. That's if it's not unique to pharmacy, there can't be many other industries in which that's a practice.
Unique. Yeah, that's pretty unique.
So we're off and running. Our members, at least many of them, are represented by Matt in the case.
Yes.
Right? So they don't have to do anything to be part of this?
Right. So that's the thing with the class action. If the class gets certified, that's a decision that's made by the court. If the class gets certified, then essentially, all of our members, all, you know, really retail pharmacy that's not associated with one of the big three PBMs, you know, they're going to be covered by this class,
mm-hmm.
presumably.
And collectively, mm-hmm. what's the potential in terms of a dollar sum? Are we talking?
I mean, that's hard to say, but I mean, if
millions, tens of millions, maybe higher.
It's really hard to say. I mean, when you look at the data that was out in, say, 2021, I think PBMs collected about, $12 billion in 2021. You know, CVS makes up about a third of the market. So,
right.
You know, folks can do the math, but, you know, it's really hard to say.
It's a potentially big number.
It could be, yeah. And, you know, the thing with an antitrust claim is that under our laws, if they have violated the antitrust laws, those damages are tripled. They're called treble damages. Yeah.
So not only does this have the potential to restore some of the money back to the members who were assessed wrongly,
mm-hmm.
but do you think it has the potential to change PBM behavior?
Well, you know, I would hope so. When you look at sort of the way DIR fees have increased over the years, and you look at the fact that DIR fees are being assessed against, you know, like single dose medications, mm-hmm. they're now being assessed against vaccines. It makes you wonder, how is that a fee that is like being assessed against a performance standard when you're basically handing that medication out once, or you're administering
right.
that vaccine out once? So, like, those are examples, just a few, just scratching the surface.
Right.
Of, like, egregious behavior on the part of an entity that can do this because they control the market.
Right. And the performance standards seem some of them seem to have no relationship at all to the performance of the pharmacist.
It seems to be the case, yeah.
Well, so today, as part of our first general session, we had the lawyers who were are leading the case,
yeah,
the class action case, and you and they announced a prong in the attack,
yeah,
here, another legal, yeah, avenue. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. So, you know, you have Matt's class action sitting out there. What we've done is we've looked at how can we also represent the possibility of moving forward with arbitrations on an individual basis. It's a very expensive endeavor.
To undertake an arbitration.
Absolutely.
Right? For the individual pharmacist,
yeah,
on his own to,
yeah,
try to have that arbitration. That's
because you have to pay for part of the arbiter's fees.
Yep.
You know, in some cases, you have to have up to like 3 arbiters on a panel. You have to put money in escrow. And then if you lose, you have to pay the other party's fees. And then, you know, if you want to make a claim on like antitrust, you have to hire expert witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
That all costs a fair amount of money. And, you know, what we're trying to do is create a vehicle by which smaller owners, you know, if you're an owner of like 1 to say 10 stores, you can bring those in together in this limited liability company that that NCPA has created. And that will enable the pharmacies to kind of take advantage of having them all together, maybe sharing some of the costs associated with prosecuting those arbitrations. And so we're going to investigate, you know, those claims, how it looks and how it works, and, you know, potentially move forward.
So Trust LLC, which is the legal entity now that's going to carry,
yeah,
this out, will arbitrate on behalf of individual pharmacies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if our members and even non-members wish to be part of this, then they register with
the
entity.
Yeah. So what it is they would have to, what's called, assign their claims.
Right.
And so it's not something that's done, I think, very often in our country. But what it is it's not like you're assigning any money or anything like that. You're assigning your right to sue, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving this legal entity to move that lawsuit or
on
that arbitration forward on your behalf.
I see.
So a claim is just a right to take somebody to court or to,
mm-hmm,
arbitration. You're assigning those claims, and then the trust will analyze those claims. They'll say, okay, you know, Joe's Pharmacy down the street, they've been assessed X number of BIR fees over the last number of years, and we think that the PBM violated the law in these different ways. And so then they would move those claims forward on behalf of that Joe's Pharmacy. And what we've done is we've engaged the same 3 law firms that moved,
yeah,
Matt's lawsuit forward to represent the trust.
Mm.
So, you know, really top-notch law firms that have been either in the space of, you know, big mass arbitrations around antitrust issues to experts in healthcare law and Baker Donaldson.
And it doesn't cost it won't cost NCPA members, right, to...
Correct.
Participate in this.
So for the stores that you have registered as, mm-hmm, members, there's no cost associated.
It's free.
It's free for them to.
And if you're a non-member, if you're a pharmacy that doesn't belong to NCPA, is there a cost for that?
There is. It's $1,000 per store. And the reason for that is, you know, it costs money to run this LLC.
Right.
And while the law firms are fronting all of the costs of the arbitration, there's still some administrative costs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, you know, non-members, we're welcoming them with open arms to come to us and assign their claims to the trust. I mean, they could sign up and become members if they wanted to. But,
which they should. If you're watching,
yeah,
you should.
And otherwise, you know, you would have the opportunity to join the trust for $1,000 per store.
What is significant to me, I think, is that the lawyers are working on contingency, and if you know anything about that, they're not likely to take a case like this unless it has the potential to be successful, right? Because they're on the hook for all the money that we're going to spend over the next few years. They're on the hook for that. They must be pretty optimistic about the outcome if they are taking that risk.
They've spent a tremendous amount of time already,
right,
getting, you know, educated on these issues, talking to pharmacy owners, really trying to understand the reimbursement model that is pharmacy reimbursement, which is, you know, the sort of black box
that Byzantine,
really understands outside of our industry. And I'm not sure people even within our industry can kind of understand it because it's so one-sided and lopsided. But they've spent a tremendous amount of time and effort already. And so they're putting all of that at risk. And they're putting at risk, you know, all of the fees and costs and hours moving forward. But they believe in it. They believe in independent pharmacies and the people who own independent pharmacies. They believe in the communities that they serve. And how important independent community pharmacies are for our country. And, you know, that infrastructure, it's fragile. You know, I wouldn't say that there's like going to be like this catastrophic event in 2024, but it's going to be kind of like a starvation event if something isn't done, because of the way that you have these vertically integrated organizations that, you know, you can't shop a PBM if you're a pharmacy. You can't say to one PBM, I'm not going to take your contract because I'm just going to get the contract from another PBM. That's not how the marketplace works. They each have about a third of the country that they represent. And then in certain communities, one PBM might have as much as like 80% of the market, right, depending on who the insurer is in that market, because they're vertically integrated. So you can't really say no to those contracts. You can't say, well, I'm not going to take an Express Scripts contract this year. I'm just going to go get my contract from CVS. Well, CVS might only represent 6% in your market, where Express Scripts could be, you know, whatever, 40%, 50%, 60%. So it's not like a typical market where you can go out and find different suppliers for, customers. They are a walled garden. They control access to those customers. They know that, and they exploit it. And that's exactly what they've done in DIR fees. And they've done it in a way that we think violates the antitrust laws.
Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't seen our members quite this excited in a long time. They were extremely interested in what you guys discussed, and they seem to be pumped up over it. We want...
Well, they're hurting. That's why.
Sure. I mean, this seems like they're turning a corner. It seems like this is has momentum behind it. It has a certain opportunity for success. We want our members and non-members, if you're interested in this, you want to learn more, if you want to talk to counsel, we want you to visit fightforpbms.com,
right? That's fightpbms.com.
Fightpbms.com.
Yeah.
Fightforpbms.com. What am I talking about? Fightpbms.com. And you can get more information there and get in contact with some of the lawyers who are undertaking this.
Yeah.
Matt, thank you very much.
Yeah,
this is exciting stuff.
Yes,
I know you've been working hard on it.
Really happy to be doing this on behalf of independent pharmacy and the patients they serve. I think it's hopefully going to be a game changer for our industry. And, when you have patients that can get access to medications at their local pharmacy, sometimes that's a problem. If you have to wait for mail order or whatever, days, weeks, that's a problem. If you can't get somebody that's there that you can talk to face-to-face and get advice, that's a problem. And that's what's happening in our country, and we're hoping that activities like these undertaken by NCPA can really change that.